The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 58, starting at verse 1. Shout out! Do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to those to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interests on your fast day and oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard light. Is such the fast that I choose? A day to humble yourself, oneself? Is it to bow down and head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To lose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall bring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rearguard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places, and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and shall be called the repairers of the breach, the restorers of streets to live in. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew 5, verses 13 to 20. This is the gospel according to St. Matthew. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. So, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, part of which we heard read by Yvette this morning, Jesus said, "We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world." And Jesus was encouraging his followers to allow people to see and taste the goodness of God in us. I want us to imagine for a moment a plate of food on a table in the dark, inside a room with the light off. We can't see it and maybe can't find it very easily, especially if it doesn't smell very strongly. But if we put a lamp on or switch on a torch, the light will show, illuminate the way, and we can come forward, look at it, touch it, and taste it. It could be bread and wine, just as we'll be invited to share later on in the service when we're invited to share in Holy Communion together. When Jesus was on earth living as a human, he often spoke in familiar imagery to help his listeners relate to what he was talking about. Salt, light, use of the land. And he used his human form. He used his body, his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, his speech. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, taught, was outspoken, was compassionate, died for us. Jesus is the light of the world, the true light. And we're made in the image of God, and his light needs to be visible through us, not hidden. Christ's light must shine despite our weaknesses and reluctance, perhaps. We are who we are, our authentic selves. Whatever circumstances we're in, we are to be his light, to be his body, to be his hands and feet, his eyes, his listening ear, to be compassionate, to be proactive for justice, to share his love. Then, as we heard in our reading from Isaiah, light will break forth like the dawn. The light will then rise in the darkness. Our actions and attitude will reveal Christ in us, made possible through the power of the Holy Spirit. This gives glory to God, our Creator. The passages we heard this morning could be a bit of a pre-Lent message. As Jessica said, Lent starts very soon, in fact, on Wednesday week. Lent is a time when we perhaps think of giving something up or obeying some self-imposed rule like not eating chocolate. In our first reading, we heard how God was not impressed with the Israelites thinking they had done all that they needed, following a few rituals, self-imposed rules, just to please him. God wants us to show humility and be truly ourselves, our authentic selves. Maybe this Lent, we can be more open to God's Holy Spirit working through us, rather than just following our own set of rules. Let down whatever barriers or busyness prevent us from allowing time for God. Jesus, in his bold statement on the Sermon on the Mount, said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." No options here. It applies to all of us who seek to follow Jesus. The crowds of people who had come to listen to Jesus had travelled far and wide. to hear Jesus' teaching. They were curious to listen to the person they had heard all about, to listen, observe, learn, and be healed perhaps. Maybe have their lives put back together again, have more meaning in their lives, a sense of direction and purpose perhaps. And maybe some of the reasons for the people in the crowd wanting to see Jesus then are the same reasons we come to church today. To hear about God, to learn, to be healed, to have our lives put back together, to have some sense of meaning and direction and purpose in our lives, to be with others who are searching the same thing. Through worshipping together, through having conversations, joining a home group maybe, taking part in the various activities during the week, like Little Fish that we heard about earlier. If we are to be salt of the earth and light of the world, how might others taste and see that we are salt and light? So it could be joining in one of those activities during the week. It could be through the everyday encounters we have with friends and family, the person we walk past in the street, the lady at the cash out when we're shopping, being a listening ear, a helping hand. So many ways in our everyday lives people can see the light of Christ through us. There was one encounter I had recently when I was in one of the warm space events. There was so much warmth and love in the room between those people helping with the soup and the puddings and those chatting around the tables, helping each other, listening and supporting each other. I was chatting to someone who was so grateful for all that Living Well and CAP had done for them in the past, that invigorated in his faith, he wanted to give back. Someone who felt very blessed and wanted to support and encourage others, to be salt and light for others. So let's just pause for a moment and think about an encounter that you might have had during the week where you felt Christ's light shining through the person you were with, such as the man I met in the warm space. And now let's pause for a moment and think about a time when you felt compelled to do something. And then you were sharing something of the love of Christ with someone else. You were being salt and light. So being salt of light has lots of implications. We are to flavour the world. We are to season things and transform things in our own lives and other people's lives. It means we're going to help people see that God's life is in theirs. We bring light to dark places. What might that look like during the week, instinctively or unconsciously? It could be speaking a kind word. It could be being particularly compassionate. It could be taking time for someone. It could be generosity in practical and time ways. It could be making a difference for those who are struggling. It could mean slowing down, rearranging our diaries to spend time with people, valuing relationships, not just doing stuff and ticking off a list of things to do. It could look like more self-giving rather than self-serving. God doesn't want us to lose our saltiness. He doesn't want us to hide our light. If so, we would lose our own lives. We would deny God's goodness. We would deny Christ. When we add salt to our food, we hope to add flavour. When we put the light on, we expect the light to go on. And Jesus wants people to see his light through us. Each of us, in our different ways during the week, will sprinkle our salt and shine our light in very different ways. And only we know what that might be. And only we will have that personal experience. But we can share that with others. And in those moments too, we will taste life. We will see the world in a very special way. The outworking of God's saving grace, of God's kingdom growing on earth. Let's return to our passage from Isaiah. that Colin read. The people of Israel cannot understand why God has not responded to them in a positive way when they believe they've done all that was required of them through fasting and upholding the law. Instead, God retorted and gave highly practical guidance and examples that are still relevant today. I'm going to read the second part of the passage again, but this time from the Message translation, so that we can hear it maybe in a refreshed way. And if we listen to it, for each one of us and as a church community. So the second part of Isaiah 58 from verse 12, from the Message. This is the kind of fast day I'm after, to break the chains of injustice, get rid of exploitation in the workplace, free the oppressed, cancel debts. What I'm interested in seeing you do is share your food with the hungry, inviting the homeless poor into your homes, putting clothes on the shivering ill-clad, being available to your families. Do this and the lights will turn on and your lies will turn around at once. Your righteousness will pave your way. The glory of God will secure your passage. Then when you pray, God will answer. You'll call out for help and I'll say, here I am. And then, if you get rid of unfair practices, quit blaming victims, quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you are generous with the hungry, start giving of yourselves, your lies will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lies will be bathed in light. And I will show you the way to go. I will give you a full life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of the past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again.